From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Today on Let the Bible Speak, we'll hear from Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina, as he brings the closing portion of a message entitled Lessons on Sanctification, part of this series in the book of Joshua. We're studying chapter 10, verses 28 through 43. Having defeated the coalition of five kings, the army of Israel could have relaxed, at least for a little while. Yet Joshua continued the campaign of conquest until nearly all of the cities in Canaan were subdued. From this account, Dr. Cairns is drawing an important parallel for the lives of God's people regarding the matter of sanctification or holy living. In the course of the message, we've seen the importance of dealing with that which seems insignificant, but which may keep us back from living successfully for Christ. An important principle illustrated in the text is that Joshua pressed the battle when there seemed to be no immediate threat. God's people must not pursue sanctification only when there is a crisis. A temporary lull in the battle against sin does not mean permanent triumph. As Dr. Cairns will show, the believer must hunt down all manifestations of sin in his life. This can only be done by following Christ, for it is the sight of the Savior that is the essence of sanctification. Finally, we must realize that sanctification is a step-by-step process. It is accomplished in us as we seek to live moment by moment in conformity to the Lord Jesus Christ. Before Dr. Cairns concludes the message, please enjoy this devotional thought from Morning by Morning, a collection from the pen of Charles Haddon Spurgeon.
This morning's text comes from Isaiah chapter 51 and verse 5. On mine arm shall they trust. In seasons of severe trial, the Christian has nothing on earth that he can trust to, and is therefore compelled to cast himself on his God alone. When his vessel is on its beam ends, and no human deliverance can avail, he must simply and entirely trust himself to the providence and care of God. Happy storm that wrecks a man on such a rock as this! O blessed hurricane that drives the soul to God and God alone! There is no getting at our God sometimes because of the multitude of our friends. But when a man is so poor, so friendless, so helpless that he has nowhere else to turn, he flies into his Father's arms and is blessedly clasped therein. When he is burdened with troubles so pressing and so peculiar that he cannot tell them to any but his God, he may be thankful for them, for he will learn more of his Lord then than at any other time. O tempest-tossed believer, it is a happy trouble that drives thee to thy Father. Now that thou hast only thy God to trust to, see that thou puttest thy full confidence in him. Dishonor not thy Lord and Master by unworthy doubts and fears, but be strong in faith, giving glory to God. Show the world that thy God is worth 10,000 worlds to thee. Show rich men how rich thou art in thy poverty, when the Lord God is thy helper. Show the strong man how strong thou art in thy weakness, when underneath thee are the everlasting arms. Now is the time for feats of faith and valiant exploits. Be strong and very courageous, and the Lord thy God shall certainly, as surely as he built the heavens and the earth, glorify himself in thy weakness, and magnify his might in the midst of thy distress. The grandeur of the arch of heaven would be spoiled if the sky were supported by a single visible column, and your faith would lose its glory if it rested on anything discernible by the carnal eye. May the Holy Spirit give you rest in Jesus.
He cares for you. He ever loves and cares for you.
How often have you passed a church displaying a sign which reads, Revival, during a given set of dates? Yet how many Christians in this age of megachurches and seeker-sensitive religion have even the faintest idea what constitutes revival in the scriptural sense? Certainly, the greatest revival in the history of the Christian church took place on the day of Pentecost. But down through the centuries, there have been remarkable visitations of God, during which thousands were gloriously saved. Times such as the Protestant Reformation, the revivals in England under John Wesley and George Whitefield, the Great Awakening in America associated with Jonathan Edwards, were times of genuine spiritual revival. The common factor in all of these events was an undeniable demonstration of the power of God rather than the ingenuity of man. In the late 1940s and early 50s, such a revival occurred on the Isle of Lewis, one of the Hebrides off the west coast of Scotland. In the course of several years, hundreds of people were converted to Christ, and many churches were built to take care of them. Again, the Holy Spirit came down in power. The preacher during those days was the Reverend Duncan Campbell. Yet what took place on Lewis was not because of his pulpit skills, but to the overwhelming moving of God among the people. Strong men, hardened sinners who mocked the preacher, were suddenly struck to their knees by the roadside under conviction of sin. Young people in a local dance hall left their frivolity and ran to the churches, crying for mercy upon their souls. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to make available CD copies of Duncan Campbell's own account of what happened during those revival times on the Isle of Lewis. There is also a CD containing the personal testimonies of people who were saved during those revival times. Either CD is $5, or you may obtain both for $8, which includes postage and handling. To obtain your own copy, simply send a check for either or both CDs to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just request the CDs of Revival on the Isle of Lewis. You may make your check out to Let the Bible Speak. If you wish, you may email ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. You may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. You will be blessed greatly as you listen to these accounts of the power of God at work.
Essence of sanctification is a sight of Christ. And you know, when you stop to think of that, doesn't it make sense? If your heart is taken up with Christ, can it be taken up with sin? If your heart is in love with Christ, can it do anything else but hate the lusts of the flesh and the wickedness of the world? The Lord is our Creator. There is only one true psychology, and that is the psychology that God reveals in His Word. He is the creator of body and soul, and He knows how we work. And He knows that if we have Christ in our sight, then we will hunt out sin and defeat it. You see, sanctification is not merely abstaining from certain things. That is a great folly that we have been foolish enough to fall into. That sanctification, holiness, is merely abstaining from certain things. Now, obviously, it involves abstaining from certain things. But you can say, I don't do this, and I don't do that, and I don't do the other thing, and be as carnal as the man who does. Sanctification is not merely something external. That's a weakness within us all. We want to make it something simply external, because then we're in control. As long as I don't do this and don't do this and don't do this, and I do a little bit of that, everything's fine. But it's so much more than that. Sanctification is essentially discipleship. It is following Jesus Christ, our greater Joshua. Sanctification is fellowship with Christ. And I tell you, if you're not living in fellowship with Christ, I don't care how much you're abstaining from the big sins, you are not going on with God. If you're not in fellowship with Christ, you are not hunting down the lusts of the flesh. You are not living in victory. You are in defeat. Fellowship with Christ is the real essence of sanctification. It is taking His attitude against sin. We read in verse 40 how Joshua smote all the country round about there and their kings. He utterly destroyed all that breathed, as the Lord God of Israel commanded. Joshua's attitude was the attitude of his God. That's true sanctification. Dr. Barrett read this morning from Revelation chapter 6, where we have that wonderful description of our Savior as the rider on the white horse, going on conquering and to conquer. What is sanctification? It is battling in the train of Christ's triumph. That's what it is. As Deuteronomy 1:30 puts it, the Lord your God which goeth before you, He shall fight for you. And we come along, we fight the same battle as the Lord fights. Now, I could go on all day on that. I'm going to cut it short, but I want you to see how simple and practical this is. What is Christ's attitude to the things that you are facing in your life? What is Christ's attitude? Now, let's not make the mistake of saying, well, I believe the Lord would this or the Lord would... Forget all about that. Go to Scripture. What is the attitude of Christ according to the Word of God concerning the things that you and I have to deal with? And whatever His attitude is, that should be our attitude. True sanctification is fellowship with Christ, following hard after Christ, taking His attitude, and following through to victory in the train of His triumph. And then the final lesson is this. Hard to learn, even though we all know it in our head. We can't destroy every foe at once, but we should track down and deal with every citadel of sin. This is something that Israel found. She went from one place to another. She reduced one city at a time. Some she reduced in a single day. One case she took 2 days. So strong was the opposition. But it was one step at a time. And that was God's purpose. In Exodus 23, verse 30, the promise the Lord had given through Moses was, "By little and little I will drive them out from before you until thou be increased and inherit the land." God never said you're going to walk in and everybody's going to walk out before you and leave the land vacant for you. Never said that. And by the way, sanctification doesn't happen that way. There are people who will tell you, if you just make your commitment and get the second blessing, the old nature will be eradicated and the whole land will be wiped clear of all foes, all enemies, and you'll live in the peace of perfect holiness from that day on. Those people neither know their Bible nor their own heart, for it's simply not true. God says, "By little and by little I'll drive them out." In other words, sanctification is progressive. We can't and we don't obtain perfect holiness at once. It's true in every area of life, but it's certainly true dealing with our sins. You can get so discouraged looking at the massive problem that confronts you. Do you ever look at something and say, "It's so vast, it just gets bigger as I look at it, and I can't do anything about it," and you just sit down in utter dejection and total defeat? God doesn't call you to live your life in one big lump. He doesn't call you to live your life 1 year at a time or 1 month at a time. He calls you to live one moment at a time. And while you can't take on the entirety at one moment, yet you can take one step from one place to the other, from one enemy to the other, from one sin to the other. This is not to say that we willingly tolerate known sins while we deal with others. No, it simply says we grow in grace. Paul told the Hebrews, leaving the principles, the fundamentals of the doctrine of Christ, not forgetting about them, but proceeding from them, "Let us go on unto perfection, to full maturity." Let us make progress. Let us track down and deal with every citadel of sin, so that day by day, we are growing more like Christ. I want us just to stop and take a little look at our lives today. We're called to victory. We are to be conquerors, not victims. We are to be masters of ourselves, people who live under the control of the Holy Ghost. Now, we have many foes to grace and holiness. As you look at your life today, where are you in the battle with sin? Have you simply laid down your arms saying, "Well, I'm glad I'm no longer what I used to be. I'm glad I'm not involved in the big sins, but I'm really not making any progress. I just have to share the territory, as it were, with all the remaining inhabitants." There's something much better for you than that. God has Christian victory for us. I want you to understand that. I believe in the victory of grace in the lives of the people of God. Paul says we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. He gave thanks unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ. when he thought of the remaining lusts within him and all the weakness and the wickedness of his flesh, in which he said there was no good thing, he cried, "Who shall deliver me from this body of death? Who'll deliver me?" And immediately he says, "I thank God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Let us look at our lives today. Where are we in the battle with our sins? I want to suggest to you very strongly that the major reason the 20th century church in America has so little power to battle the world and the devil is because it has lost the battle against the flesh. We have no hope of overcoming the strongholds of the devil and of the world outside of us if we do not overcome the strongholds of the flesh within us. We are called to holiness. And unless we're a holy people, we will certainly be an impotent people. We must battle our sins. It would have been very easy for me, and in fact, to be quite honest, a lot easier from a preaching point of view, to take this passage about us pursuing all the enemies out there. I have dealt somewhat with the enemies out there, but it would be very easy to keep on talking about fighting this battle and that battle and the other battle out there, and leave unspoken the need to battle the enemy in here. The greatest enemy to this church is not out there. He's in here. It's our own heart, our own sin, our own compromise with the flesh. Joshua's campaign against the cities of Canaan illustrates how we should pursue the battle and progress in sanctification. I hope that we will all learn those lessons well. For our God has said, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." May God write His word on our heart and teach us true holiness unto the Lord.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we let the Bible speak.